Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we visit the topic of the Ten Commandments and think about what they have to say to us today. This is part four, and so let us pray. Heavenly Father, with hearts prepared by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us through your scriptures so that we clearly understand your will and then walk in the light of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 1 to 2, and then verse 8 to 11, and I'm reading from the NIV. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Now the greatest challenge facing Christians today is that of avoiding the trap of being overly subjective in their thinking, especially when it comes to understanding their faith. That is, being constantly tempted to define our faith purely in personal terms, and this challenge is not difficult to understand, since we are told that we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is good. But while we experience our journey of faith in a fairly personal way, our development as disciples of Christ must take place in two ways. Firstly, through God's Word, and then secondly, by interpreting that Word within a community of faith. This will always give us a frame of reference so that we don't find ourselves walking on the woolly side of Christian life. And let me say, it does not take a long while without these two elements for people to begin to interpret things in very strange ways. So this is vital, that our faith is lived out, guided by Scripture, and within a community of faith. Today we are going to reflect on the fourth commandment in verse 7, which is elaborated on from verse 9 to 11. So here God instructs his people to set aside a day in which to worship him, to rest spiritually, and to rest physically. Bill Gates was once asked why he didn't believe in God, and his answer was this: just in terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Having said this, we might lean towards the opinion of Mr. Gates. However, he is not God, and we really do need to understand what God intended when he spoke these words. There are two things, and the first is we begin with creation and the Sabbath. When we consider the creative work of God in Genesis chapters 1 to 2, apart from the indication of other cycles, such as night and day, times and seasons, what is also clearly detectable is a pattern of a 7-day cycle. It is part of the pattern for God's creation. 6 days of creative activity and the seventh, the Sabbath, on which God rests. The Sabbath has significance primarily because in Genesis chapter 2 verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Thus, the Sabbath is a day on which God is worshipped as Savior and Creator of all that is seen and all that is unseen. However, in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus made it clear that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man, since at that time some rabbis really believed and taught that humans were created in order to keep the Sabbath. But are we then to ignore God's blessing and views on the Sabbath? Not at all. We discover that in Mark, Jesus highlighted the fact that such a narrow view on the Sabbath was never God's intention. Instead, in this encounter, he taught that the Sabbath was God's loving provision for us to rest and to worship. And, as with anything we do as God's people, it should be done with joy, willingly, and with great anticipation that we will encounter God in His Word as we come together as members of this body and offer Him worship that is due to Him alone. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was always understood as a day that God had made holy. And so important was this ordinance that eventually under the Old Testament, God said, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and consecrated it." The Sabbath, more than any other single religious practice, functioned in Judaism and to some extent in Christianity as a means to keep life balanced. In essence, the intention was to refrain from changing the world one day out of seven, and rather, in worship, honor God, the Creator, and honor God's own enjoyment of what He had made. It allowed the entire community to relax and let go of trying to control life, and instead enjoy creation, and commune with God and each other. It brings into the covenantal life a powerful sense of communion with God and God's grace. Now, if we looked at Israel as a nation in covenant with God, not only did Israel celebrate a weekly Sabbath, but the nation was instructed to observe a Sabbath year and a Jubilee Sabbath. Once every 7 years, a Sabbath for the land was observed for the whole of that seventh year, and you can find this in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1 to 7. The land was left to rest, so that it would continue to be productive and provide sustenance for God's people. Israel also had to observe the Jubilee year at the end of seven groups of 7 years. So, the 50th year was a year of Jubilee. This you can read about in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 to 22. Slaves were freed in the year of Jubilee. Debts were forgiven. Land lost because of debt was returned in the year of Jubilee through various provisions made. These were all instructions to be observed within the covenant community of Israel, and the purpose was to restore the balance of the community. Of course, how this would work out in our modern, out-of-balance society today is a practical impossibility. However, not within the worshipping community, where we ought to take care of our Christian family. This is why it is so important to belong to a specific church family, so that we can know each other as we grow together, for proper care and for just actions to take place. Of course, this does not mean that we are unable to promote balance in society through care and just actions, but it should at least take place within God's covenant community. And so, the Sabbath principle, as it is known, reaches far deeper and more profoundly into society's life than simply gathering together to worship God. But it starts with gathering together to worship God. And what we observe is how important it is to view life from the perspective of covenant theology. Now, let's look at the second aspect that helps us understand what God intended when He spoke these words about the Sabbath, which is redemption and the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1 to 21, we find the Ten Commandments are repeated, and the fourth commandment is found in verse 12. The difference here is interesting in how it ends. Here is what it says: "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Here we clearly see a different ending to the command to observe the Sabbath, compared with our Exodus reading. There is an emphasis on God's redemptive work in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. While this ending is quite different from the first, God does not contradict himself. Instead, he elaborates on the purpose of the Sabbath, which is that God's people remember with gratitude, in worship and rest, the grace and salvation of God. For this reason, the importance of maintaining the rhythm of work and rest is coupled with an awareness of God's ongoing work of salvation in creation that is essential to our humanity. Why our humanity? Well, as it was with Israel, so it is with us, that we would not forget that we are weak and in need of one who is mighty to save. Our awareness of the profound brokenness of humanity produces a more merciful and compassionate response in us to all things. In resting, worship, and devotion, the Sabbath is also an opportunity to reflect on God's ongoing grace in our lives and to live in that space, to surrender more and more to his call to be involved in his kingdom purposes. As we draw to a close then, we can see that the law in this regard is not done away with, even though it is fulfilled in Christ. It remains a perpetual command, along with the rest of the Ten Commands, that fit well with our relationship with God. To neglect the Sabbath is to ignore the fact that God has blessed and made holy this day. But how is this worked out under the New Testament, or New Covenant, as we also know it? We know that with the advent of the church, the day of worship and Sabbath was moved to Sunday, which marked the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and this would represent an essential break with Judaism. So in today's terms, if we were to speak of the Sabbath, we would be speaking of Sunday and Sunday worship, as well as rest on that day, which is observed across the board in the church throughout the world, with a few exceptions. I think that this is how we ought to understand the Sabbath today, with all its complications that our secular world has introduced. Finally, I want to end with this thought. Gordon MacDonald, in his book Ordering Your Private World, speaks of three things that take place when we observe the Sabbath. He says it is a time to first return to eternal truths. As we turn our attention to Scripture, we come back to God's truth. Next, we close the loop, much like we close the electrical circuit or loop to turn on the lights. In closing the loop, we make sense of our week in the light of God's purposes. Finally, we renew our sense of call to share in God's mission and the gospel message. And so I want to invite us to reflect on this command and how it is worked out in our lives, and then to encourage others who are of the same mind to consider the importance of the Sabbath as an opportunity to respond to God's call to worship as well as his gift of rest on the Lord's day. And so let us pray. O God, this is the day which you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Almighty God and Father, you created 6 days in which to work, and the seventh you made a day of rest. Grant that we may use the Lord's day for rest, for worship, and for hearing your word. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And so I hope you will join me next time for part 5. God bless you.